Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is David Mercury, host of the National Black News. I want to welcome everybody to our podcast, the Monday Night Podcast. We only have a few people with us thus far. And Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy, I believe that's Kathleen Murphy.
That's correct.
All right, I got it. There's a book buddies on here. And then we have my partner, Brother Satawi Jahi, who is the co-host of the Monday Night Podcast. And I just discovered something, you know, about the messages I've been sending out. There's two lists of my mailing list, so things getting a little confused there. But any case, we'll rectify that. But any case, before we get started on our podcast, I just want to share a little information about the National Black Unity News. It's a publication that's circulated quarterly, and it's a type of publication that's so unique in so many different ways. And it's what we call a collaborative. And it's a group of people who have come together for the sole purpose of uplifting us as a people. And we don't put down any group or race of people. What we do is uplift our own so we can somewhat equal the playing field. And the information comes from us, and it is by us. And so we encourage you. Yeah, we have our January issue floating around, and we encourage you to go online and look at the publication. Even better yet, get a copy sent to your home. Get a subscription to the National Black Unity News. I'm more than positive you will be pleasantly surprised. You will be pleasantly deceived that us black melanated people who have come together to inform, to enlighten you, to encourage you. And this is the type of publication that you won't wrap any fish up in you. This is a keepsake. You know, every issue is vital. The information that we put in this publication is good for today, yesterday, as well as tomorrow. So, ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to get the National Black Unity News. And I'm going to introduce to you to a good old friend of mine, a soldier who's been out there in the battlefield for a multitude of years. And he always starts the podcast off with some positive information. So, Brother Satawi, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing fine, David. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing excellent. And so you all, we're going to invite you to go ahead and share some great information to start this party off right.
Okay. As we do each and every week, we come on in, we read from Daily Motivations for African-American Success, a book written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also wrote another book called Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which is a manuscript for eliminating poverty in our families if people follow it, you know. So the reading for the night, January the 30th. I know no great man or woman, only those striving to be. We are measured by what we do, not by what we possess. And that's from quotes from Douglas Waller, who was former governor of Virginia. The reading for the night. The true test of civilization, counseled Murray McLeod Bethune, the famed educator, cannot be found in its census, nor in the size of its cities, nor its accomplishments. The true test is the quality of citizens it produces. Character is success, and there is no other. The world, it is said, is in constant search for men and women who are not for sale, individuals who are honest, who promote the highest degree of integrity, like those of us in the National Black Unity News, who are sound from center to circumference, true to the heart's core, courageous men and women who neither blink nor flinch at the first sign of adversity, bold individuals who know their place and feel them. If there is any power that can reverse the fortunes of a race, it is character. There may be little culture, sparse abilities, and fewer resources, yet if there be a character of sterling excellence, it will demand and influence, command respect. Picture, if you will, Harriet Tubman without the thirst for freedom. How about the march towards equality without Martin Luther King? Or Kenya without Jomo Kenyatta? Or Nelson Mandela without the will to hold on? Every thought that centers your mind, every word you utter, makes its impressions upon the innermost fiber of your being, and the result of these impressions is your character. You are right now in the place that belongs to you, for it is the one that you have earned by your consciousness. It's always a good place because you are in the right position to learn the lessons that you need to propel yourself to a new and improved stage of personal growth. Today, when my thoughts are right, I always will be in the right place. That is our reading for the night, being in the right place. And, you know, we're in the right place and time, and we move this publication along to get it throughout the corners of the world. So back to you, Dave.
I appreciate that, sir. And let me say this to you. You know, I put a topic out there tonight. And the topic is, you know, I was talking about these five pillars. That's what I call them, pillars. They ain't the way it really represent. But the first four is time, space, matter, and energy. And these are what makes everything what it is. But without this fourth pillar, the fifth pillar, I mean, is what they call universal intelligence. Now, some would say God, some would say high power, some would say, you know, creator, you know, it's by many names, but it's that's the source, you know, to make all of this stuff gel together, to organize, you know, every blade of grass that come up is organized, you know, a seed go in and grass spring up. And you ever thought about your own body? What makes your heart beat? What regulates your body temperature? What makes the food that you eat get turned into energy and all of this stuff? You know, that intelligence, man, you know, you hear you running around ain't even thinking about it. But yet you moving and you're doing and your body doing this, it is fighting off, you know, bad energy or cells and this, that, you know. And sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. And here we are on a computer today. Powerful stuff, man. You know, because I come from old school when it comes to newspapers. You know, I used to cut and paste and I had to do all this kind of stuff, man. But now I can sit at this one little wonderful machine and click here and click there and put things together, hit another button, send it to the printer, hit another button, they send it back to, I mean, it's just so amazing, this technology. But at the same time, you know, without organization, without structure, without some type of intelligence, you know, this, the world, our bodies and everything else will be in chaos. And so I'm going to get into that a little bit. But before we do, you know, this program is interactive. And it's always good to see some people and some new people as well as some old people on here, you know, and I want to recognize them. Because what they do is extremely important. What you do is extremely important as well. And one of my good old friends, Miss Lottie Arthur, can you unmute yourself?
Hi.
How you been?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm still here. I'm doing great. And so I know you know. Lila is the editor in the National Black Unity News, and she deals with insurances, financing, and a lot of other good things that she's involved with. She runs multiple businesses. And so what's going on in your world, Lila? What's
going on in my world? Pretty much just, you know, always looking for people to train and teach to do what I do, get them licensed. So they can help other people. You know, they say that, you know, we each person know at least 250 people, and we know out of those 250 people, half of them need what we do. And sorry, car skied next to me. So yeah, that, and then, you know, I have my cleaning business, the Arthur Cleaning Service. So just helping people. That's my gift. That's what I love to do. So in any area that I can help somebody. Well, via their finances or via, you know, their helping them clean. That's what I do.
All right. Look, I want you to get in touch with, she's on the line right now with Kathleen Murphy. You know, we need to refresh some things with you. So you can do a presentation. And that goes for those who are editors on the publication. I strongly suggest you get with Mr. Walter Murphy and Kathleen Murphy, because we do a Tuesday night call. And this is where we do the newspaper business, and we highlight each other. You know, we bring forth a lot of information. And by the way, I just want to make a few. I'll let my brother, he's on here tonight, Brother High Key. And Miss Sherry Cook, how you been? Can you unmute yourself, please?
Hello, how are you? Good evening.
I'm doing fantastic. And I'm going to introduce to you one of our newest editors, Miss Sherry Cook. She's an author. She does a lot. She's a motivational speaker. She does so much. Sherry, introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, hello, my opportunity. I'm Sherry Cook. I am the chief creative visionary of Keon Works, which stands for Keeping Each Other Motivated Works. I'm an author and speaker, and I go out to associations and nonprofit organizations and wherever you invite me. And I talk and encourage people to change their negative mindsets and thinking outside of the block. That's right. I said outside of the block, not necessarily the box, but outside of the block, because as you know, here in Baltimore and the DMV area, three blocks down the street, you could live a totally, completely different life. So, yeah, we think outside of the block. And, yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm a huge advocate for building the community. So you'll always see me involved with the homeless. I'm always at the public school meetings. I'm an advocate for public schools, even though my twins are grown. And out of school, I still stay involved. And I'm all about helping women get out of domestic abusive situations. So, yeah, I'm all about building the community. Yep, that's me. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you. We got some soldiers, boy, I tell you, on the front line in so many different ways. And my friend, Miss Joy Ford, how are you this evening? You have to unmute yourself, young lady. Okay. Hope she'll get back to us. And I see one of my newest friends, Mr. Troy Richardson, just joined us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, my brother. Great evening to everyone, all my kings and queens. I'm doing well. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Tell us, you know, I know you got a multitude of things going, but very briefly, you give a little people who you are and what you do, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm CEO of RCG Consulting, the umbrella parent company for several projects and initiatives. I'm in the health, financial, wealth, and TV and film producer, amongst many other things. But again, glad to be here with everyone. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, sir. You know it, dude. And my good friend, Pastor Reverend Jane McEachin, how are you, sir? Can you unmute yourself? Okay, he'll get back to us. Jane McEachin, this is another brother out there on the front line who's doing this and helping the homeless and bringing resources to our communities. And good brother there. And I see up here in the corner up here, my little cousin from out of the Boston area, Miss Holiday, how are you? Can you unmute yourself?
I am absolutely enthralled to be in this group with all these amazing people, especially Miss Thinking Outside the Block. I love it. This is a great group of people tonight. Hello.
All right. Thank you. And this young lady has a lot of great ideas. She's a young lady who is a visionary, and you're going to be hearing a lot from her. And Joy, can I get you now?
Yes, I'm back.
There she goes.
I was trying to put something in the chat when you called me. Yeah. Right.
You're always double tasking, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, just share with some people who you are, what you do.
I am Joy Ford from the Joyrific Band, and I am also an author of children books, 7 to be exact, at this time, and I'm also a Baltimore City former school teacher. So at this time, I'm just looking to work with the children and to share learning and exploring everything that they can. That's what I'm doing.
Well, let me say this. I appreciate you this. You know something. Those, like I said, we're on Facebook Live as well as Blog Talk Radio. And a lot of people, when I put subject matters up there, and then, you know, when I come on it, because I do this because, you know, people need resources. They need not only info, but they need that resource. They need to meet people just like who's on this call this evening, who have resources, who's willing to share those resources for the upliftment of us, our people. And while I have some of you on here, I want to encourage you to come on our call on Tuesday night. We have a Tuesday night podcast hosted by Miss Kathleen Murphy. And she does a lot of wonderful things. And since I have you here, Miss Murphy, I want you to introduce yourself and just share a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Good evening. I'm Kathleen Murphy, and it is a pleasure to be on the call tonight. I just wanted to start off by saying that on Tuesday night, each week we have this meeting, a Zoom meeting, where we do update our editors on what's going on. We go over the business of the paper, and it is an opportunity for us to meet our new editors. And we also just bond and just have a great time. That's how we've really gotten to know each other. If you are available and would like to come on any of the Tuesday nights, such as the new editors that we have, you can call me, 804, and I'll put that in the chat, 804-721-7985. Or just reach me by email when we send out the links for the meeting. That's another way you can reach me also. But I just want to say one thing. I always say this, but sometimes we get busy and we don't do what we say. I'm always saying that we need to support each other, and I put out each week that when we meet on Tuesday night, it's an opportunity for us to grow the paper and for us to grow our own businesses. And the way we can grow our own businesses is to be able to support each other. And the way we support each other, yeah, maybe showing up for a show, but the main way we support each other is to help buy their product and services. And so last night, I finally got around to ordering Miss Joy Ford, if you're still there. I ordered about several of your books last night.
Thank you.
It wasn't that many, but I see me beautiful, see me amazing, Mama. I can hold a cloud. The story my granddaddy told me. Oh yeah, I think I ordered Bonnie Dale Logan. I can't remember. I was quite busy last night, but I cannot wait to get those books in so that I can read to our students. And I also ordered Kemet. The Beginning by Joe Young, his Believe book and Believe Tornado. I also had in the past ordered Neil Thompson's book about this children. I think it's called Curly. Why is my hair curly? Uncle Neil, why is my hair curly? It's I already had that. And mm-hmm. I also ordered, it's a book, it's a little cartoon by Walter Carr. And I ordered those. So I had a good time last night. So I can say tonight, I am trying to support our people in the paper. So, David, I'll turn it back over to you.
I appreciate, you know, that's the beauty of it. I tell people all the time that this, the paper do what it's supposed to do. It goes out into the world and share information. But where the real magic is, well, that's why I mentioned to some of you, just need to show up sometime. Because this is where the magic is, when people come together, get to know one another, and support one another. And I'm going to shout this until the day I leave here, is this. I've been fighting for UNT 40, 50 years now. And I sit in all types of meetings with dignitaries, and what you call frontline soldier advocates, revolutionaries, and everything else. But until recently, in the last 4 or 5 years, I met a group of people such as this is on this call right now who generally really care about one another, really want to support people, not only just in mouth service, but in specs. Kathleen Murphy was just saying, with your finances, with moral support and everything else. So, and I found unity within the National Black Unity Movement. This is the closest thing I've ever seen to it, and I'm grateful for it. And, Brother Hockey, I had a conversation with him this morning. See, this brother moves all over the world. Can you unmute yourself, sir? And
yes, sir. Good evening, everybody.
And I got a call this morning, and I know who was behind it, and I have a strong suspicion. Brother, what's going on with you? And tell them about a couple of things that's forthcoming.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brother David. And good to see, well, good to, yeah, I see you, but you don't see me. So I'm just going to, I'll be on in a second, kind of tied up here. But yeah, so I'm very happy, Brother David. You know, of course, we are, had opportunity to peruse the paper a little bit more. I'm pleased that Brother Buki, Ross Buki and his wife out of Panama are in this edition. So I'm excited about our global expansion. And tentatively, we have a sister from Ethiopia. She wanted to get in this edition, but she couldn't. But certainly we want to get with her early, if I may say, so we can make that happen coming up here for the next edition. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to this weekend, Brother David, with Carl Nelson, who you will be on his show this Wednesday. He'll be at the Black Men Unifying Black Men breakfast, sorry, and that's on the WOLB website. They just put it up just now as well, so we may get a few more people in than generally we usually get. Well, Black History Month and MLK Day generally pick up for the Black Men Unifying Black Men breakfast. So, and this FYI, of course, because we, you know, knowing that, you know, the Black Men Unifying Black Men generally is for males, but, you know, I hope we have some exceptions. But what we did, just to kind of, you know, be fair and balanced, is we since Carl Nelson is going to be in the Baltimore area, he's going to be at the Blacks and Wax in the evening as well. So Carl Nelson, for those who may not know, he took Senator Larry Young 1010 market, but WOLB, but he was in the D.C. market where Kathy Hughes was for quite some time. And so he's been having Brother David Murphy on for quite some time, and Bill Gooden was on, I think, last week as well. So I'm excited about, you know, all of that, and excited about him being at the Blacks and Wax. And Dr. Martin will be on as well this week. And I'll close and say Senator Shirley Nathan-Pulliam, the senator from Life, she just got an award today. They put her name on the building at the University of Maryland. So amen. I was there for that. Yeah. So it was good to hear, see her. 84 years old, still going strong. So for those that know Senator Shirley Nathan-Pulliam. But I think that's about all that's going on. Looking forward to seeing everybody somewhere this weekend, hopefully.
You know, Shirley Nathan-Pulliam, you know, she was one of the first people that ever gave me an award, you know, way back in the day.
Wow. Yeah.
you know, and, you know, she had an office right here in my neighborhood, too.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so, you know, she and I got on some front. We did some things back in the day, you know, trying to make the community better. But, you know, I'm glad to hear that, because she's well deserving of that. And, and brother, I appreciate you, because this Carl Nelson, he speaks about it, has a nationwide format, worldwide, really. And, you know, I've been on his show a couple of times, and I got some great responses from that. And this brother is very knowledgeable. This brother is a true servant, man. And so those brothers who can come out Saturday morning, if you're in the Baltimore area, come visit. You know, when black men, when we come together, it's a powerful time, powerful force. And also, you know, when we all come together, that's even more powerful. And speaking of Dr. Martin, she also is a new editor in the National Black
Community. Great
Blacks and Wings. Yes.
Did I miss it?
Yeah, you'll see it is on there with our social club and all the rest. I think page 40-something, 40s.
Okay, all right. I must have missed that. All right.
Cool. You know, the paper's 60 pages, y'all. You know, you go
ahead. You got to take your time with it.
It's a lot of information in there. And they can say that what makes us so unique. And I see my brother, Jane McEachin, and you know, got his hand up. You ready to speak, sir?
I believe I am. Bless your heart.
Yeah, I agree. Say something's wrong. I think brother must got something happened because he's time and I say call on him. He don't speak. How you been, soldier? You muted yourself again.
I've been in the vineyard, David, very heavily and very deeply, and I'm very saddened to say that more people have died in the streets, freezing to death. I ain't talking about the murders, freezing to death. And I've been out there trying to work with that. I've also tried to work with the young man who just got killed at Forest Park Senior High School, my alma mater. The family's not prepared for that because they don't have the money to bury their son. And I had to agree with the mother today. There's so many that are going in our city. And I hear y'all always saying, I myself want to do all the things that I hear you all doing. And I know Joy, you still on the phone, Joy Ford. I've worked with her on a project, one or two things prior. But,
hello.
But yes, ma'am, I see you. I see you. I see that pretty face of yours. Amen. David, people are freezing to death. They need hat, gloves, and blankets. We've had ladies to freeze to death in alleys back behind my sister's place on Cathedral and Marbury. We need help. I need help. We need help. We need hat, gloves, and blankets for the people that are freezing to death out here in the streets. And it's very hard for me to ask for these things because 90% of the time when I ask, I hardly never get anything from anybody because I don't know if they understand. It's not for me, it's for them. And again, I heard today something that really made a lot of sense. I serve in the communities tirelessly without a dime, without a nickel or a quarter or a penny in my pocket, but I serve. And I serve not for me, but for the folks that really need the blessing. Lottie, Dottie, everybody, anybody, somebody, even nobody. I need help. And I tell you that all the time when I see you. I ask that if you don't trust me with money, buy some blankets, buy some hats, some gloves, buy some thermals, buy socks, and so that we can make sure the people in the city of Baltimore are there. 21 people who have frozen to death already this year in the city of Baltimore. They are ahead of the schedule of those who have already frozen to death. And I'm just asking for help. I can't ask no more than what I've been. I'm not going to say I get depressed. I don't get, I just keep serving.
Reverend McKinney, let me tell you, like I always tell you, is this, you know, you do, you one person, you do what you can do, and that's all you can do. And I understand the appeal because not only here, but all over the place, people are going through so many tragedies. I mean, it's crazy. That's why we do what we do because we're trying to uplift each other. And it's like I say, I need help. You need it. We all need some help. But, you know, collectively, we can do this. And, brother, I need for you to call me tomorrow because I have something coming up and I need your support in it. This is about the same thing what you're talking about. So, you know, so ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be open. So call me, brother, tomorrow.
You got that. You know, anytime you call me family, because I almost was your brother-in-law.
There you go. All right. Okay, brother.
David.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Murphy. Yes, sir. Mr. Murphy, y'all. Listen. So, Brother James, why don't you put the information in the chat so we can have it? Could you do that for us, please?
Yes, sir. I got that. I'll do that for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, David, for allowing me to speak.
Yes, sir. Okay. And who was it I got on here? I see Dr. Leroy McKenzie. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, Brother David. How's everybody? Good evening.
Yeah, I'm doing great. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Can't complain at all. it's always good to be here with the, you know, with the family on Monday and Tuesday night. So I always look forward to it.
Right. And this brother is the author of many books, and he helped so many. You know, it's people like Dr. McKenzie who I met so many, you know, people through him, you know, that he had brought to the table, just like Brother High Key. Man, we got some powerful ambassadors out there. You know, they're taking the National Black Unity New Head there and everywhere. And not only is they sharing, but they bring back to us information, because Brother Dr. McKenzie had brought many of authors to the Tuesday night calls, and they had enlightened us with so much information, you know. So continue to do what you do, brother, man, and you and I need to have a talk real soon. What we talked about earlier.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah. So let's do that this week, okay?
Okay. Yes, sir. And who else I got on here? Let me see. I got pretty much got to everybody except for Brother Satari. Now I know he is open up. You see, Brother Satari is always in the background doing this, and he reads, but he usually he don't talk that much, you know, during the course of this podcast. But Brother Satari, you have anything you want to share, because this is your season, and I want you to let people know how you can help us with our financing.
Well, for those that don't know, I do taxes, and if you have a home-based business, you're missing out on a tremendous tax refund. And Dr. Martin, she's on page 36 of the paper. So that I keep page 36 is Dr. Martin, Great Blacks and Wax. And if you have a home-based business, something you're doing on the side that's in the form of a business, get an EIN number for it so that you can be able to write off a portion of your house, your car, your cell phone, and several other items. There's about 142 different things that you can write off to become tax deductible while we still have the IRS, because they're supposed to be getting rid of the IRS, this thing called the Fair Tax Act. I don't know a lot about it. I'm researching it because it's going to probably put me out of business. They're coming up with a new law, and they got it on the full Congress, called the Fair Tax Act, and it's supposed to basically restructure the tax system as we currently know it. And I don't know what all that means, but I'm looking it up, I'm studying it, and once I have more information about it, I'll be able to speak about it intelligently and share some information around that. So I'll try to keep y'all posted on the Fair Tax Act. You can Google it, and it should come up with some kind of information. But right now, it's being pushed by the Republicans, and so I guess it's something they want to push to help them pay less taxes. They're already not paying their portion of fair share in terms of taxes. And also the Tyre Nichols situation was horrific, like a modern-day Rodney King, except that he lived and Rodney King didn't. He ended up dying from how he was brutally attacked by these police from a traffic stop. And it's just so much stuff going on with the police and how they treat our people. And we need to, take note of that and be mindful of making sure we get the word out so that we can peacefully protest these police atrocities and be able to do what we can do to bring justice for our people. So that's about all I had to share, Dave.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm kind of glad you mentioned that. I wasn't going to mention that. But, you know, this is the power of what we do. Now, whatever happened in Tennessee, but, you know, there's some things, you know, I know life is going to be what it is, and people want to do what they do. But injustice is one of the reasons why I got into media, because of injustices. Now, no wrong, I'm not saying what's wrong and what's right. Wrong is wrong and right is right. But when you had several people had done this pretty much the same thing, but, you know, you don't get what they call equal treatment. Now, just on the news not too long ago before I came on, there was another police officer involved with this too. He was a white guy. He's not in jail. He wasn't even mentioned until this evening. And you know, see, this is the kind of stuff, and you see how fast they went quick to judgment on these, but I'm not protecting these. I want you to understand, I'm not protecting these police officers, but they are black people, and they need, they humans too. They still are brothers, whether, you know, whether they right or wrong. They still black people. But they were so quick, they went straight to jail. Now, and I recall all these other officers who had done the same atrocities to us. Oh, they stayed out 6, 7 years, 2 years before they, you know, even went to court and got paid. They still received the paycheck. And then I heard, oh, you know, and not only through media, but what they call fraternal orders of police was backing these officers up. I didn't hear inch out of them about these brothers with the, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. So I'm just saying. The treatments of us is so different. That's why when I say equal the playing field, that's one of our objectives, not to put down any group or race of people, but, you know, fair is fair, right is right, and wrong is wrong. And so until you walk into somebody else's shoes, you never know sometimes the full story why people end up doing the things they do. Because I know personally, some of the things I've done, I can't even look at myself in the mirror, you know, but some of the things I did in the past. And so, you know, so yesterday is yesterday, but, you know, we all fall short one way or another. But, you know, through prayer, strength, and encouragement, you know, we can change things because we are changing things. And that's why I wanted to bring up this subject tonight. And I hope y'all chime in on it because I am a student. I'm always learning something. This is where I got this from. I was listening to I don't know if you called it a teaching, you know, or something, but this gentleman, he's a very well-known gentleman. They called him the godfather of motivational speaking. And this guy brought up this subject. He was saying about these elements that is so powerful. And he said it's time, it's space. It's matter and energy. And he said the most important thing to keep all of this stuff in check and in control is universal intelligence, he called it. But he said many people call it as God or high power and you know, everything else. And Brother Jane McEachin was speaking about the work that he was doing, how difficult it is, and he see firsthand some people. Now, I don't know why some of the people end up where they are, but see, each one of them have their own stories. Some of them had closed some bridges. Some of them out there because they just couldn't pay bills. Some of them out there for, you know, for right there, but they still are brothers and sisters. And when you say this, there's a place in the sun for everyone, and somehow, some way. But, you know...
David.
Wait, let me finish, brother. Okay. Let me finish, brother, please. And like I said, you know, when it comes to, you know, servitude, you know, that's the choice that you make. Now, a lot of people, you know, for various reasons, because some people just don't know who they are or whose they are, to be honest with you. I'm just recognizing who I am. It took many, many years to try to figure me out, and I studied me intensively. And so, you know, and I always was curious about why you do this and why you act this way and how you respond to certain things. And I'm, you know, like I'm just curious enough and I question myself all the time about this. And so I dig a little deep. And now as I'm getting, some might say, up in age or wiser, I come to understand this. And this is by experience now. And I ain't talking about what I heard, but somebody told me. This is by experience that the power that we have within us, but that same power that flows through me, flows through you as well. We can change things. We have changed things, but you know it or not. You have made a difference. You have impressed upon people your will and your thoughts upon people. Even from the child all the way up, you had some type of impact on somebody. And so no matter where you are, who you are, what you do, and why you do the things that you do, you are that so unique. We all know we're one of a kind, but you can make a difference. And you also can renew your mind or change your mind. You can renew your way of doing things. And so I'm encouraging, and that's why when I come on these talk shows like this, I like to get information from each and every one of you, because you never know the power of words, the power of information. Somebody right now who's going on Blog Talk Radio had heard something that you have said that altered their life, and the same thing on Facebook Live. And not only that, those who are with each other. Now, Kathleen Murphy just said, well, you know, told Joy, you know, I just purchased some of your books. Now, on Joy, on the other end, she took time. She took effort, thought, blood, sweat, and tears to put those books together. And she had a purpose in mind for them. But, you know, no matter what, tonight, just tonight, I can imagine how she felt that somebody thought enough to buy her book. And then not only buy, but and Kathleen Mercy, I'm going to take these books and share with my youth, the young people. And so indirectly, Joy, just because of her thought pattern, when she thought about this book, now Kathleen Murphy got a hold of it. And now when she even put that information into these children, now who these children that may hear Joy Ford's words through a book out of Kathleen Murphy's mouth may alter that and will alter that child's life. If you can remember when you was a little child, those who went to school back in the day, some of y'all, but remember we used to sit down in kindergarten, first grade, and we'd sit in circles sometimes. And the teacher would sit back and read a book. And that was one of my favorite times because I had such a great imagination. And when she read, my imagination went along whatever that story, but I was thinking all kinds of stuff. You know, I was almost dead. My imagination was so strong as the teacher was expressing what the words she was saying. I was seeing things. Inspired me. And many times I went home and imitated, you know, played, you know, whatever it was, you know. And just because somebody said some words. And again, I'm going to say this. That's why the National Black Unity Music Support, because we share words. And we never know the reaction as one would get when they read my words, Mr. Murphy, words, your words. And not only not, you know, because like I say, visualization. And because we have brothers like Troy on here, we got and we also mentioned we now have an editor from England, Panama, and Ethiopia, and other places that's coming on board with us. I don't know, but you know, our words are going globally. But at the same time, we still here local. We have our local issues with Brother Meechan is very concerned about. But, you know, like I say, there's atrocities. Some of the stuff that goes on in Africa and places that, you know, the media don't tell you about. You know, it's difficult. But, you know, the world is what it is, and that's why you are. Whoever you are, where you are, you can make a difference. And Brother McGeechan don't have to go out there in the streets and do what he does. He chose to do that. Because he see the track, and he's helping his brother, and I honor him. And that's why I do what I do, because I want to uplift people myself so that we can have equal the playing field. But in any case, you know, before I go on and on, there's two more people that I really have to recognize, and that's my brother King Tisdale. How you doing, sir? Brother Tisdale. Okay, but in any case, I know he works a lot.
I'm sorry, David. I was in the kitchen.
No. I know, double tasking.
But appreciate.
You know, I'm talking about sharing. The brother King Tisdale was on last week, and just this morning, I was talking to another one of our editors. She said, yeah, David, last week I met a lot of new people. She said, man, she said they was powerful. And she said, one of them said she talked to you. And you impacted her greatly. And so, so that's what I'm saying about, you know, when you talk to people and the words you share, because you were just on there talking about this and you were talking about that last week. But this young lady picked up on your words. Pick up on your words enough to even give you a call. So this is how we do it. But how you been, sir?
Been blessed and highly flavored.
All right. Okay.
And I seriously mean that, because as we encounter the flavors of life itself, we have to recognize what we need to sit in and marinate, and that which should not be marinated in, so we can move forward to do.
Now you better go to bed. I'm gonna come with that belt and beat your ass.
Okay, I'll make sure to do that. Thank you for the share.
Okay. I heard them words before.
Yes, I know that's right. She didn't know she was that on mute.
Yeah, that's why I say technology, man.
And
but like I said, when you got little children, you know, they'll take you there sometimes if you allow them.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Especially 3 or 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
But in any case, we've been there. You know, we family, so we know. But in any case, there's another brother, a couple of brothers on here that, is that you, Donald McBride? Hello, Donald. Okay. All right. And then there's Vernon Streeter, who's also, so Vernon, can you unmute yourself?
Yes. How you doing?
How you doing, soldier? And Vern is another one of those brothers out there on the front lines who don't mind sharing and giving. So what's going on, brother?
All good things. I'm glad to be alive.
And that's a good start.
Still working behind the scenes. You know, still working, you know, on behalf of the newspaper and everything that we're doing here, you know, with the National Black Unity News. I'm just glad to see everybody out here tonight on the Zoom call.
Yes, sir. You know, it's a lot of us, but unfortunately, we are some extremely busy people, and I myself is one of them. But, you know, but there's some things that we need to start taking time for. Cause this is some serious times, brother. Serious, and it will take the village to solve some of these problems. Like Brother McGeechan would say, you know, it that's a village thing that, you know, has to be confronted with. But like I say, that's why we have such thing like this, because we have people on the front line over here, over there. Like I say, we have people in finances, we have people that are dealing with our youth, we have people dealing with economics. And all sorts of things, and all of them have, you know, major impact on us. And so, but, you know, we have to get in where we are called, and if you're called to do certain things, then go out, by all means, go out and do what you're supposed to do. And Mr. Murphy, Walter Murphy, I think I got everybody but you. Unmute yourself, sir.
I'm unmuted, David.
Okay.
Hear me.
Now, you are the manager of the National Black Unity News, and you, like myself, we deal with a lot of different people, and you serve not only in the paper, but you serve in a lot of other civic organizations and things like that to uplift us. Like I say, we all, you know, have multi-talents, and we all working on, you know, different fronts. So what's going on in your world, sir?
Oh, a whole heck of a lot, David. In fact, I'm really excited about what's going on in my life, simply because when you wake up in the morning and there's a lot to do, and most of it because it's stuff that you want to create because you want to see that it gets done. It's not because, you know, you got to pay a bill or, you know, you got to go to a job or you're obligated in some way, shape, or form. But my life, unfortunately, it's not always been like this, you know, being a soldier, this and that, and the other, getting up in the morning, 2, 3, 4. And since I retired, I refuse to work for anybody ever again. And so I share with you this one thing, is that, again, you know, when I wake up in the mornings now, my task is to do some things for my family. You know, I'm a little bit of entrepreneur stuff, and mostly I'm a philanthropist now. But more importantly, one of the biggest things that I did was just deal with the National Black Unity News. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you know, by it being what it is, and it is very simple, the National Black Unity News is a quarterly published, high-quality, solution-oriented periodical designed to serve the Black melanated African American community. And just that thought alone about the idea of bringing us both just together. Now, and when you look at this group on this call, not to mention who's out, not on the call, but out there, and cyberspace that's listening to this call, ladies and gentlemen, most of you guys have
no idea what's out there for you. Some of you have an idea because you're doing some of it. But if you continue to do what you do in earnest and in love and putting your time, energy, and effort into what your passion is, I guarantee you, you won't miss. You won't get it wrong. You'll feel better every day, okay? And so I'm not saying that my life is perfect, no, by no means whatsoever. But when you think about what my task is in my life, it is wonderful. Back to you, Dave.
Okay. And there's one other brother, man. I appreciate that, sir. Really do. And Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir? And I was on the call with Brother Cliff, you know, last week with just a small group of us. And this is how powerful things happen. And Brother Cliff, as you know, he always been out there trying to unite us on many different fronts so that we can all come together to support one another, uplift one another, because it does take the village. But out of that conversation last week, and then all of a sudden, people that I was talking to, because you know, I deal with different organizations and stuff, and some of those same issues kept coming up there. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. So I'm going to have something coming up real soon. And I think real soon, probably at the end of the year, something major. And that's why I wanted to talk to Brother McEachin and quite a few of you, because a lot of y'all will be involved with this. And but it sparked from that conversation because of what Cliff even came up with. And see, that's why I say sometimes, man, when you just sit in the midst amongst people who are positive, who are making changes, man, the information that you, and like y'all don't understand. I know some of y'all read the Bible, the Quran, and you heard of these people, they were called messengers. You know, they would take information to this place and that place. And sometimes they brought good news and sometimes they brought bad news, but they brought messages, you know, regardless. And sometimes in settings like this, you know, we send out messages not only to each other, but to the people also listening to us, other places as well. And because of Brother Cliff, after he had introduced me to so many different things, first one he introduced me to was the Maryland Council of Elders. He invited me to that. And, I'm so appreciative because I met some good people. And I also work with another group called the National Black Council of Elders. But also, Brother Cliff and I, we belong to one of the same organization, which also is in the paper, the Art Social Club. And Brother Cliff is, and I thank him for that because I had one of the best nights of my life. I had a birthday party when I was 68 years old. And he was the DJ. He let it out. Okay. That's why I say we multi-talented. You know, you man, we here today, we can do this, and we can walk and chew gum and everything else. So how you been, sir?
Been hanging in there. Been dealing with, I guess, all of the activity, controversy, everything that has come up in the last week since. I know you had kind of avoided talking a lot about the Tyre Nichols case, but of course that appears to be front of mind for a lot of people, and there's been a lot of editorializing, some of it smart, some of it stupid, that's been going around. So just kind of dealing with a lot of that stuff.
Well, you should, because like I say, it reflects all of us, and I'm always interested in your opinion on this, because like I say, I always think you come from a unique way of seeing things. So what is your thoughts on that?
Oh, boy. Okay. I actually had written some things down in an email to myself before this call, and the idea was sort of I could kind of make whatever points I wanted to make relatively concisely. And a lot of these are just kind of like isolated pieces, isolated thoughts, but the incident itself is not an isolated one. First of all, of course, the police snatching Tyre Nichols from his car immediately upon making the stop, an obvious indication of immediate and unprovoked excessive force. Police made comments on the video designed to exculpate them, essentially to give them a defense. He's grabbing for my gun. Is he on drugs? He must be on something. Give me your hands, give me your hands, give me your hands, stop resisting. All while he is not resisting. Police clearly acting on the assumption of their own impunity and displaying no awareness whatsoever of the atrocity they have committed or even of the trouble they should be in as a result. The poll video, of course, provided key visual evidence the body cameras could not. So that tells us a little bit about the limitations of the body cams, because you didn't see them hauling off and basically striking him with haymakers and even striking him with batons from the body cameras. You saw it from the poll video, and it was pretty obvious and pretty graphic. No one tried to stop the beating. None of those five police officers had any sense occur to him to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And even some of the other officers that you've mentioned just a little while ago who showed up on the scene after a while, they didn't question anything. The EMTs didn't even provide timely medical attention to him when they saw him clearly slumped over in a car and falling over later in the video. Some people love to talk about the whole fact that this is five black police officers. This is not so much about the race of the officers, which frankly is blue, as it is about the race of the victim, who is usually black or brown in cases like this. So many black police officers, like a lot of white police officers who came from, I guess, the places where maybe they felt like they needed to be able to exercise their authority over others, then turn around and visit whatever frustrations or violence they have pent up in them against people on the street. And this does not come from the fact that they're black or white or red or yellow or brown. It comes from the fact that they are now wearing a uniform and a badge, which they feel gives them the legal right to do whatever they want to people. And now, once again, politicians are going to be concerned about violence in the streets in response to this violence in the street. So now their right-wing concerns are probably going to come up again about impending new calls to defund the police. Okay, they'll do that. Other people will say, oh, they need to be better trained. It's not a training issue. This is an issue of who you select to be a police officer and also how you punish those who do wrong, even on a small scale, before they do wrong on a large scale and cost someone their life. It's not just a few bad apples. This is five rotten apples that have not fallen far from a rotting tree. This is an issue of culture wars that have been going on since really for the last 25 or 30 years, seriously on the political front. And I have to say they've been going on ever since this country was founded. This is police paranoia, police gang mentality from the slave patrol legacy, from the Pinkertons' legacy of basically beating up people who stood up against corporate power. The Scorpion Squad unit in Memphis is reminiscent to me of the Baltimore City Gun Trace Task Force, which has recently gotten into all kind of hot water. The Baltimore City Red Squad, which is involved in the persecution of the Panthers back in the day of Eddie Conway. Police paramilitary units being created in the 80s and 90s coming out of SWAT. And, of course, the thin blue line, the whole us versus them issue. We'll be concerned about how this will impact the talk, because we tell our young people, when the police stop you, don't fight with them, talk to them, comply. Everything in the video told me that Tyree Nichols was trying to talk to them. He was trying to comply, and they beat him to death anyway. How will this impact the strategy of compliance and non-resistance with the police who may abuse and kill you anyway? And how will this impact the mindset of people who, as far as they are concerned, the police are the enemy? Are they going to get even more graphic in how they express their opposition to the police? How many of them are going to get a little bit of inspiration from the song Black Cop that KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions put out, which now suddenly seems a lot more relevant? So in conclusion on that, as long as we continue to react to these atrocities, react to them like we've been doing, instead of proactively organizing the activists of our community, our oppressors and enemies will continue to tolerate, cover up, ignore, encourage, defend, approve, plan, and personally commit these heinous acts. Our continued disorganization and collective inaction expresses in an activist context what Dr. King described on a personal level. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. We must begin to truly organize as a people, and it must start with our activists, organizers, and self-described leaders. No more egos, no more you must follow me, no more ideological rigidity and arrogance, which keeps us from coming together and forming coalitions and organizing as a true activist community. We need to start talking to each other like you have us doing every week here and start planning together, or we better get used to seeing more and more atrocities like this. And I think I'm going to shut it down there. Hopefully, of course, the efforts that you're putting forth with the National Black Unity News, informing people, providing that kind of information, bringing different writers, editors, and other activists like me here together in forums like this, that can perhaps continue to spark that fire among our activists and our people on the ground to start coming together better and start organizing more effectively. Hopefully by the time I've actually got to a point where I can afford to make that kind of investment into the paper, there'll still be some room. If not, I will continue to support what the paper is doing now and what I hope will continue to do for the next however long you all want to continue to do.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. Always love to hear your opinion about this and about that. Yes.
I just wanted to say that was excellent, Cliff. That was excellent. That was really, really great. Thank you for sharing that. That was really good.
Thank you.
Case in point, I was just saying how your words impact other people. So, so that's just what I'm saying. And I see Sherry could have her hand waving. You want to say something, Sherry?
No, I was just clapping my hands. That was very good. Very good. Right
okay.
On point.
Well, Cliff, as I was saying and will continue to say, you know, you have a gift and your gift to make a way for you. You know, you just need to share that voice in a multitude of ways. And the door is open. All you got to do is come on in, brother. So,
all right, I'm going to work on my ability to walk through that door very soon.
All right, sir. And cause you know, you and I talk quite often, and I understand, you know, but you know, there's ways of doing things and there are ways of doing things too. And the ways of saying things as well. All right. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted, you know, because of time, you know, right now, I just want to get everybody in, but I just want to leave you, you know, if y'all have any thoughts on this. And Brother James McEachin, are you still there?
I'm still here.
You was trying to say something to me, and I had to cut you off a little bit because, you know, I'm getting old if I don't get my thoughts out.
I know. Listen.
Yeah.
It really, of all of the atrocities of police officers, this is the worst. Not only are they black, but they are fraternity brothers. They belong to a nationally black fraternity. I'm not going to say which one because the New York Washington Post has put it out there who they were and who they are. And they have now been banned from the fraternity as well. So everybody is seeing these rogue officers really malicious. Like I said, this is the worst I've ever seen anybody do anybody. And we're talking about it and we're talking about because they are black. These brothers were way beyond black. I can't really understand what the purpose of taking somebody out like that and maliciously causing them the great harm that they caused this man and the family as well. So I'm praying that again, somehow or another, as Cliff said, we need to come together. We need to come out with strong voices. And we really need to collectively show the world that we know how to come out in mass force. Like I said, and I say this all the time, if Freddie Gray, a snitch for the police back in the neighborhood of Gilmore Homes, and because he didn't snitch that day, that's why he lost. Freddie Gray can cause a riot and cause people to come together, as many as they did. Why is it that when we see these other atrocities that are happening, that we won't come together and take care of those things that need to be taken care of?
Well, they will come together because guess what? That's what we're doing right now. And guess what? Like I say, you know how long this has been going on and happening to us? You know, the mindset, you know, this is so terrible from where I sit at, is that because we have been indoctrinated with so much information that turns us against one another, that we have what they call self-hate. And, you know, and people have put images in our mind that this is greater and this is lesser. And, you know, and some people will go to any extent because of their mindset to be like something else that they are not. They want to be what they call in the dominant pool, as they say, some will say. And so, you know, when you know, even from a child, like I was saying, how powerful words are. Now, I can't speak for nobody else, but I remember a black teacher. I'm in the kindergarten, and I told y'all this story many times. And the way she said it, I don't, you know, but this is the way I received it. I'm singing in the classroom. See, I'm thinking I'm being, you know, really getting my thing off, you know, because I love doing, I love singing, I love music. And she told me, shut up. I mean, the way she said it, she shouted at me. It wasn't a nice, you know, wasn't no calm down day. Just sit down. Shut up. And all the children laughed. And from that moment, it impacted me so greatly that lasted all the way up until I was 65 years old. I'm in my mouth now, but five, 6 years ago, you couldn't get too much out of me. And those who know, you never could get that much out of me, period. But that's the impact of what we say to children and this, that. Now, and as a black child, coming up in our neighborhoods, not from no white folks, nobody, I'm talking about coming from us, from your little friends, how they abuse you and tease you and belittle you. And then oftentimes, because our parents had to be out there trying to earn a living, we didn't have that lever to be with that. So we just sit down at the table, well, son, what happened today? And we're going to work this out kind of, you know, we didn't have that. You know, a lot of us were raised by, you know, multi-family members, and they had issues of their own. And oftentimes they took issues out on you sometimes, you know. So we have, you know, the children go through so much drama and trauma in a lifetime. And then as we become an adult, and then we indoctrinated with more filtered, all this other stuff comes in. And then you wonder why sometimes, because and I told you this before, the mind can take you one way or the other way. I ain't shaming, that's yesterday. I almost became a mass murderer. I was going to burn 40-something people up. And I was not drunk. I wasn't high. I wasn't nothing. I was stone sober and just finished reading the Bible before that incident, before that guy called me the N-word. Just finished reading the Bible. But I snapped at that moment when he said all this atrocity that happened to me all my life came to a head that day. And so that's why I say I know firsthand your mind can take you this way or far left or far right. And that's how powerful the mind is. Now, I don't know, and I ain't protecting, I never will, because I do know for myself that people go through a lot of stuff, a lot of trauma and drama. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, because you have done it yourself, most of you, with your spouses, your children, everything else, in anger, have said some things or have done some things. And they may not say too much to you, but that impacted you greatly. And you hold it deep down inside, and you know in a lifetime, this is how powerful our minds are. We filter everything from the time you was born, a child, all that stuff is in there. It's in your mindset. And you got so much data of negative inside of a person. And not only that, in your own perception of who you are and what you think you are has been distorted so greatly. Because like I say, most of us don't even really know who we are. That's why I was trying to bring this subject matter up tonight. Because, like I said, all of these things, all of this intelligence that's going on out there, like I said, every blade of grass, every insect, everything, it's enough resources on this earth to take care of all of it, from the tiniest insect to everything else on this earth. Look at everything around you somebody thought of. But on the flip side, there has been many who that's all they thought about, you know, were thinking about was destroyed, pillaged, take away from you. This way or that way, but you have a choice. We have a choice, and I do believe. Now I don't know about any rest of y'all on here, but I do believe that you say, I ain't talking about the whole village. I'm talking about you alone can make a difference in your world and your world around you. And I can almost guarantee you, just like everything else, things are you attract what you are and who you are. Because when you start thinking positive and things like that, positive and good things happen to you. But when you just look at it, it's called the mirror effect. You go around frowning all day long and be mean to people, what you going to get? You're going to get the same results. They're going to mirror right back to you. People are going to look at what's wrong with them. And they're going to form an opinion about you right away. I don't like that person. Look at it, you know, this, that. And we had a thing up when I was a young teenager. And, you know, we used to all try to be tough and this, that. But, you know, the thing we used to call, I used to say it like this, drop your mug. You know, we would put a scowl on our face when we go to certain places just to let people know that you're not to be messed with. And I used to go to travel. I'm from West Ball. I used to go to East Ball and go to school over there sometime. And when I seen a group of young men that I know could possibly trouble for me, I would come in there and I'll put the scowl on my, I drop my mug like I don't care about nothing. And I'm willing to hurt you if you attack me. And those are the type of personas that a lot of us carry for real all of our lives. And the truth is that you can lie to yourself, and you can lie to other people, and you keep lying to yourself. Sometimes you end up believing your own lies. And that's how deep the mindset can take you. You will actually believe your lie. And that's why people do some of the things they do, because some people do think they're superior to you. They really believe that. And then you got some people think it's all right to take your life because it's all about me, myself, and I. Because that's what's being penetrated to in their mindset, especially our young black people. Me, myself, I listen to the music. I watch my own children. And I know my wife and I know me. And we didn't have that kind of attitude. But, you know, the children, you know, because of what they was reading here, I see the effect that it has on their lives. And then when I start talking to my friends, it seemed like that same effect was affecting their children as well. All about me, myself, and I. I'm going to get mine, and I'll take yours. You know, that's what they hear. And that's why you are here, too. Because we are all students. We have to be taught. You know, and if we had too many negatives, that's why people like Joy Ford on there and Kathleen Murphy, see Joy, write the book, Kathleen Murphy, take the books and share it with children. And a lot of them do that in your own ways, in so many different ways. Like Brother McGeechan out there feeding home. Now, he sometimes is difficult for him to understand because that's his passion, because he wants to help. I mean, he wouldn't be doing it if he didn't. But he finds it very difficult that other people don't see it. Because so many people are caught up in their own world. Like I said, there's enough resources for God, the way God created this. That's why I say mind, space, matter, everything. It's enough in this universe. That's why I say universal intelligence. It's enough for all of us. All of us. And the power of one is so powerful because, like I say, it's just like a cell, man. It begets one thing and it keeps going on and on and on. So we have to start where we are, where we at, and we can change our mindset. I'm changing minds constantly. Not to go backward, but to go forward because I do see possible. And if I don't take a stand, I ain't talking about the rest of you. If David Lee Murphy don't take a stand where I'm at, in my family, in my community, I have nobody to blame but me. But I have the power to change things. Now, collectively, when I join up with a Joy Ford, Brother High Key, and King Tisdale, and Troy Richardson, when I unite, see, I'm uniting with people like them. Now, and I see synergy. Because I know now I ain't fighting this thing by myself. There's a whole host of us out there, all over this world. People are just like you. But the only problem is, we don't have those mass weapons of destruction. I'm talking about media, mass media. I'm talking about finances. But we have everything we need, though, but we just need to unite those forces. And so, you know, and when you change your mindset, I truly believe that by attraction alone, just attraction, when you have a positive mindset and knowing that you're doing right and knowing that you can make a difference, people will come to your aid. People will step up. But we have to stay on that positive note because the same thing, like I say, about attraction, and I used to have this bad thing about me. So I'm always using me as an example. I used to say, well, David, I need financing for this and I need financing for that. And I'm a praying man, and I have plenty of faith to do what I do. But at the same time, I get in my own way. Where the money going to come from? How this going to be taken care of? Oh, this thing is falling down on me and this, that. And see, those are the type of things that's negative that turn, you know, so you get what you think about. In your subconscious mind, those things come to you. If you're scared about how you're going to pay your bills, next thing you know, them bills won't come upon you. you run your own blessings away. And that's why I'm saying to you, sometimes we need to dig a little deeper and check out who you really are and check out your real capabilities. And a lot of these holy books, religious books will tell you, but they don't say it the way, if you have to have your eyes open, your ears open, and you have to read between the lines sometimes. But you know, you are, if you don't know, call me. I have information that I can share with you just to give you some food for thought. That if you listen wisely enough, and you can add, because you know truth is truth, and you know what you hear. When you hear truth, you will know it. And if you need some information, I have some information. All y'all have to do is call me. And if you change your mindset, and I change my mindset for positive, then we can change collectively. We can, you know, like we're doing with the publication, we can actually change this world. We can change Baltimore City. We can change a lot of things. We have enough power in this town to do so much. But again, by divine inspiration, the National Black Unity Museum, you are here, but also by divine, not divine, but by planning. It's designed as well to keep you apart, keep you separated. People prosper off of havoc. You know, people prosper off of killing each other or slinging drugs in the community. People prosper greatly from it. They ain't giving that up either. They're not going to stop it. But we can make it different.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
It kind of starts off with a story, if you would allow me the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
As I heard the word results and that which we look forward to obtaining, and I'm reflecting on a movie years ago that I saw called The Magnificent Seven. And
yes,
there was a group of people who needed help because there was this atrocities going on in their town. And they basically didn't have any way of protecting themselves. I know that there's been times that we feel as though we can't protect ourselves, or it appears that way. And when we look at the violence that's going on in our city and the atrocities that are occurring towards each person that seems to be helpless, I know that there's been times to where I've walked the streets with a weapon, but I've had no license for that weapon. But there is now a moment in the constitutional aspect of Maryland now that's allowing us to actually have the ability to sign up to take classes so that we can get the concealed carry, wear and carry license.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of curious what people felt in regards to that, because sometimes when people recognize you can't be pushed over, they back down. When you can stand on your own two feet, as those people did in the movie Magnificent Seven, because they were taught basically what they needed to do and just to fight back. My question is, where are we in that feeling in fighting back?
Well, I can say this for myself, you know. There's a thing called survival, the law of the land, self-survival. And I get upset about this too sometimes. Well, I used to anyway. Is this. I think one of the, you know, not only in Baltimore, but all over the world where black people live at, our people can come into your community, disrespect your women, your children, bring drugs in, bring all kinds of priority to the community, and the men don't stand up and protect their own village. Animals, insects, everything, you know, they will die fighting to protect their village, their space. And we have been seduced so bad to this state of mind that we allow stuff to go on. But as a personal individual, you know, I have a son who actually keeps that course to help you get licensed to carry. And they, of course, they want you to be in the right mindset. But if somebody should come into this household, which many households get broken into on a daily basis, carjacked and everything else, and you have a family there and you don't protect your family, I think it's justified that you, and not only your family, because other people now, they got organizations right now as we speak. And you seen them on the news since President Trump came, and you seen them come out the woodwork. All types of organizations, vigilantes and everything else, armed to the tilt and willing to use it. Just say, because don't say it won't happen, because they did it to the Capitol, that they decide one day we're going to come into the hood, in which I think they're already doing that, because a lot of these mass murders not coming from us. I believe that they outside sources doing it, but we get blamed for it. That's why you can't find these individuals who doing all of these murders, because they're not us. They looking at us. They look, point the finger at us doing it, but it's coming from outside. That's just my own opinion. But at the same time, if you don't protect your home, or protect you first and foremost, you got to protect you first before you protect anybody else. And how you going to protect your home if you don't have weapons to do so? When somebody can, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight. You can, but I don't think you'll turn out too good. And anybody else can chime in, but somebody's going to say, but you know, the reality is guns are here to stay. Mass weapons of destruction. And sometimes, unfortunately, Brother King Tisdale, that thing, you know, you heard it in the Bible many times. They said that pen is mightier than the sword. That pen legislates so many things that people do and get so many people options. And like you say, like Brother Cliff was talking about the police powers that they have. That's because of the pen. To allow people to say they can do this and they can get away with that. They put laws up for this and laws for that. Even laws for protecting yourself, because you have to legally go through their system and register through their things and everything else. But it's supposed to be a natural law at one time just to protect yourself. You ain't got to go through nobody. Just protect yourself. Why should you have to apply for somewhere to do this, to do that, just to protect yourself? I understand that because people are doing this, but that's the rule, I think. Just man been here. Just animals been here. Everybody's law of survival. Yeah, I mean, if you just can't protect yourself, you know, people will take advantage. Anybody else want to chime in on my brother's comment before we shut this down?
Be tried by 12. Don't be carried by 6.
I understand. Anybody else?
Well, the one thing I'll mention is in our December 7th cooperative coalition meeting, one of our members, attorney Thomas Ruffin, actually put forward a proposal for what I guess he called it the rudiments of a cooperative community defense plan. And it included everything from people gaining licenses to carry firearms, learning how to use a firearm effectively, not getting a firearm if they have convictions on their record or if they are suffering from mental illness, because those are problematic when it happens. And I can appreciate that, considering that I have essentially been without my father for the last 54 years because of an individual who had ISFET in his mind and a gun in his hand. So we have to make sure that we are right if what we're going to do is arm ourselves in such a manner. And I thought that his proposal was a well thought out one. He, of course, acknowledged that not only was he talking about obtaining licenses to carry a firearm, training and use of a firearm, obtaining firearms for use in the defense of your home, defense of your community, defense of other activists, if need be, not only against thugs, but against the thugs that are acting under color of authority. But he also mentioned things like ensuring that everyone has a passport in case you have to leave the country, identifying someplace somewhere between 75 and 250 miles away in case you have to leave the city in order to escape craziness or any kind of particular unrest. Being able to have access to stores of supplies in case everything just kind of breaks loose and you can't get a hold of food, you can't get a hold of fuel, you can't get a hold of those kinds of provisions. So his his idea was very comprehensive. It included all those things and more. And that's one of the things that we're looking for when we have these coalition meetings, is for different members of the coalition to come in with their ideas. Here's how we can prepare ourselves in case we have to defend ourselves from insanity. Here's how we can pool our resources in case we have to somehow or another find a way to protect ourselves legally, protect ourselves financially. And then here are some programs that we can attempt to institute so that they can perhaps wake up members of our community so we don't have a lot of people running around with ISTET in their mind and a gun in their hand. So all of those things, I think, kind of come into play. A lot of it is going to still depend on how much we can shake ourselves up out of our lethargy. And a lot of that lethargy is enforced by the mass media that gaslights us about all these things. Oh, it's about black on black crime. Jason Whitlock was just on Fox News talking about how the reason why his brother in Memphis was killed was because of police running around in cities that are run by single black women. And I'm like, okay, what was he smoking before he went on television and made this kind of a comment? But it seemed as though his thing was more about an effort to blame our culture for what happened to Tyre Nichols. Our culture, blame it on single black women, okay? Don't blame it on the culture wars that have been launched against our people for centuries. Blame it on the culture that it's being warred upon. And I think Ciara, the singer, clapped back on him pretty hard. So, and I'm sure she's not going to be the only one. I think Jason Whitlock's going to get his fair share of onions for what he said on Fox News. The fact that he appeared on Fox News in the first place kind of makes me scratch my head. But,
Chris,
when is the next meeting for the coalition? And you mentioned that was lawyer Thomas Ruffin. Is that correct?
Yeah. And he spoke a little bit more about it when we had a meeting on the 25th. We will probably have our next coalition meeting, I'll say somewhere in mid to late February, maybe not the second Wednesday in February, the third or fourth Wednesday in February. I'm thinking about having a meeting. I'm still getting some people saying that they can't make Wednesday meetings. So it hasn't been enough to push me to start holding them on Thursdays again, but we might have an occasional meeting on a Thursday. If anybody has any thoughts on that, then feel free to either let me know. My information's in the chat, so you can send me an email or whatever and let me know what you think about when day of the week, usually Wednesday or Thursday, we should have the next meeting. But right now we're looking at probably mid to late February, and I'll send an email out to people to let folks know ahead of time.
Well, let me say this in closing, because it's time to pray. Tomorrow night we'll be on, and where you can come talk about, you know, the National Black Unity. And let me just say this in closing, too. A lot of things we discuss tonight, you know, collectively, you know, we can do a lot of things. That's why I say you have to show up. You have to get involved. You know, sometimes when I say attraction, how things come to you for purposes and reasons, because when you have a mindset that you want to make change, that's one of the reasons why you're here tonight, because in your mindset, you want to make change. And so by law of attraction, you are around a bunch of people right now who are making changes. That's because you set your mind up to do that. Now, but you have to take a step further, because not only are you attracted to, but you have to put in some work. You have to get involved, because you can bring something to the table and the table can use you as well. And so that's why I say with the National Black, this is one tool of many that we can use. Like you just heard on here tonight, Brother Cliff got ideas, Brother Kingdale got, you know, all of this is part of the village. And collectively, I truly believe that all things are possible. because I do know the power of one, but I know the power of us as well. And when we recognize it, our children and our children's children recognize it. And just like I said before, people like a Joy Ford can come on here and the Sherry Cook authors and stuff, you know, Brother Dr. McKenzie, write about these things. They're blueprints and stuff, you know, how we can make changes. But, you know, until we come together and share those ideas and those thoughts, you know, then, you know, like I said, y'all would never know because, like I say, you never know who's here and who's not here. But in any case, I see my computer is doing some crazy stuff right now. I think it's probably going to shut me down or something. I don't know. I see stuff popping up. But in any case, I want to thank each and every one of you. And if I didn't get to you, you know, it wasn't by design because I try to get everybody in because I do know the how important you are. And, you know, I have thoughts about this and thoughts about that. But, you see, you are the key as far as I'm concerned. Because I know what I think about. I know what I'm, you know, capable of, and I know I can do this and do that. But what amazes me is the power of you, the things that you do, the ideas that come from you. And I listen, look at your ideas and everything. I say, wow, and collectively, this is so powerful. And so just think about this. You know, we don't try to dig into your pocket or anything like this, but we all say one thing consistently. We have no choice. We have to work with one another, those with like minds, because the masses are being duped, being used in the breach. And you are conscious enough that want to make a difference. A lot of people just gave up and given in. We have actually zombies walking around our streets right now, just gave up. And just what will happen, just what happened to them. That's the way they live. But see, you had the power of changing their mindsets because you had the power of changing your own mindset. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you know how God knows that. You know, I appreciate you all. And if you can, come on tomorrow night. And if you even take a step further, get involved. Because if you need help sometimes, you know, it's reciprocal. You give and you shall receive collectively. All of y'all have powerful things that you do, but you know we need to share those things. And the National Black Unity Union is one way that you can do that. So with that being said, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time to be with us this evening. Those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook Live. We'll be back here tomorrow night. And my number is 443-455-2373. If you want to change your mindset, you just need some tools that can assist you. Because only you can make that choice. But if you need some information that can help you, I have a lot of it. And so give me a call or just pick up the phone. Those who have my number, let's talk because a lot of us need to talk to put some things together. Your plan, my plan, and our plan, they will work. And you know it if we just come together. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. And I'm going to bid you all a pleasant good night and hope to see you tomorrow. Take care.
Good night, David.
Good night. Take care.
Good night.
Hotel.
Yeah.
Good night. Good night.
Goodbye.
That concludes our show for tonight. We'll close out with some music. Okay, good night. Good night. Join you next week, same time, same station. And until then, have a good week. And God bless you and your family. Amen.